All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Visual Novel Corner. All the hentai is over, we are back with Securing More Dreamers. Let's go ahead and get started. Well then, let's give the Tea Ceremony Club a try. Okay. It was only the second day after the break, but there were already rumors floating around about us. My old friend Sabie had a word or two to share about that. I mean, Kirito is hot as hell, but she also acts like she's not interested in guys at all. And now she suddenly has a boyfriend after the break? What did you expect? It seemed that she gave that kind of impression to everyone after all. I didn't even know they had a tea ceremony club in this school. Yeah, I also only found out about it from the website yesterday. I thought you were interested in the idea for a while. I smiled. Yeah, but I never bought it to confirm its existence. I mean, I probably wouldn't have thought to join by myself anyway, huh? It seems I'm surprisingly not as independent as I thought. It sounded like she was having fun as she said that. The club actually had their own ceremonial house, which surprised me quite a bit. It looks like they're taking this pretty seriously. Right? Though it doesn't seem like they have the traditional waiting room. I couldn't really tell, but it seemed there were facilities available for it. Huh? Wait, is that supposed to be their clubhouse, or do they only serve tea there? Kirito cocked her head as I could barely follow the conversation. It feels a bit awkward to approach people I don't know, but I guess that's how all first-timers have to feel. Excuse us, but there was no response. The structure was empty, like I had guessed. They're probably using a classroom as their club room after all. Let's try asking the teachers and look around. Alright. Eventually, we found the other club members and ended up joining. It's a bit out of season, but... No, we welcome new members anytime. What were you doing just now? We were making treats to go with the tea. Is this your first time in this kind of club? Yes. Yes. Then let's have you watch first. We've got a textbook so you can read up on your own later. The treats seem to be almost done. We ended up moving back to the ceremonial house with everyone. It hurts. I never normally sat on my knees. My legs felt numb. The club president told us to sit normally if it got too uncomfortable, but I couldn't quite do it before Kirito's perfect posture. Kirito looked perfectly natural and exceedingly graceful sitting like this. The club president approached Kirito with a surprised expression after everything was over. Miss Kirito, you have an impressive posture. I'm used to it. Your tea-serving manners are natural as well, though you still have to learn how to drink it. The club activities for that day ended with that, when we moved back to the classroom. Here's the textbook. Please look over it when you have the time. Got it. Okay. It really did look like a textbook, and was actually titled Tea Ceremony for Beginners, no less. Generally, most of our days follow the same pattern. First, we study how to make treats in the kitchen classroom, then move to the ceremonial house to practice. We're not as strict as sports clubs, and participation is voluntary, so you can come whenever you feel like it. Okay. Got it. And with that, the club dispersed for the day. We moved back to our classroom. My legs are numb. Haha, I could tell just from looking. You kept fidgeting. You were just as I expected. I hated that kind of sitting when I was a child, but now I'm glad I learned it. Yeah, me too. It looks really elegant. Haha, I'm glad to hear that from you. But the whole methodology of this tea ceremony is a bit too stiff for me. I mean, I use my legs to open the door sometimes. It feels like a pain to read a textbook on something we're just doing for fun. Since we've only got one, would you like to read it together after school? Yeah. It's like with homework, I can't get in the mood on my own. And so we decided to spend the rest of the afternoon cramming the contents of that textbook into our heads. We remained in the classroom after school reading the textbook shoulder to shoulder. I think I memorized it more or less. Yeah, it wasn't that thick, so we finished it pretty quickly. There's not many aspects of it that need to be studied seriously. You're pretty serious when it comes to the important things. What do you mean? Well, you could have gone to my house, but you said you couldn't before introducing yourself properly. That's only common sense. The four of us were having lunch together tomorrow. Your aunt, Miss Miyako, is pretty much your mother at the moment, right? I nodded. I didn't mind it when you said she was living separately during the break, but... I'm getting a bit nervous about tomorrow. So even you get nervous sometimes. Oh, what's that supposed to mean? She chuckled and pinched my hand. Being able to enjoy these kind of frivolities together stood testament to how close we'd become. Kirito didn't pull her hand back, but instead clasped mine. She then looked around the classroom. There are not that many students that stay late in our school. I never knew that. Yeah. The orange evening sun illuminated the empty classroom. I strained my ears but couldn't hear any voices either from outside or the corridors. Is this when the school closes? I don't think it's quite that late yet. We still have some time. She relaxed as I said that. That's good. I wanted to stay here for a bit longer. Yeah. It's quiet, and there's no one else here. She lovingly stroked my hand. I could feel her affection in every movement of her fingers. Is everyone really gone already? I didn't pay much attention to our surroundings, but I'd probably be able to sense it if someone happened to enter the classroom, which meant no one did so for almost an hour now. Kirito, can I kiss you? Yes, she nodded almost immediately at my sudden request. Oh wow, are they going to have another scene? Maybe we aren't out of the water yet. I kept my ears focused just in case, but I couldn't hear a thing. We grew more and more bold despite our surroundings. Kirito showed not a hint of hesitation as we began passionately sticking our tongues into each other's mouths. There was no way it actually tasted like anything, but I still felt her mouth was sweet. The sensation bewitched me even further. We were both out of breath as we finally pulled away, as usual. You said I was serious, but I don't think so. I mean, when I touched you like this, she lightly squeezed my hand. Her palm felt hot. I felt like I wanted you to kiss me, even though we're in school. If that's your criteria, then I'm far from serious, too. This time, she was the one who pressed her lips against mine. I knew this would escalate into something dangerous, but pleasure had taken a stronger hold of me than sense. My nether regions felt hot, as though on fire, swelling to attention. Kirito glanced at my crotch. It was obvious what was happening, but there was nothing I could do to mask it at this point. I guess we're not done with hentai scenes. Can I touch it? Yeah, go ahead. She reached her hand out toward it as I nodded. Wow, I can tell its shape even through your pants. The stimulation was far from strong, but I was already feeling ticklish. The last time we had sex was the last day of the summer break. It's been one week since I touched it. It seems like she was thinking the exact same thing.
Blushing from neck to her ears, Kirito focused on my crotch. I felt it getting harder, even though she was still touching it through my pants. It's hard to find good timing for this kind of thing. She lowered her eyes. Besides, I wasn't sure if that was something a girl should suggest. Yeah, I was thinking about it too, but now it's not as easy as during summer break. Tell me about it. Kirito continued to move her fingers as we spoke. It wasn't much stimulation, but my desires were most certainly building up. The tip was already feeling a bit wet. I want to do it too, is it okay? Yeah, me too. We can move to my house, there's no one there right now. What about the plan to introduce me to your mother? Then how about your house? Grandpa might be there today. I see. Next, I thought of a hotel, but it's probably not a good idea to go to one while still in our school uniforms, which left us but one option. I'm fine with doing it here. You sure? You don't want to? No, I was just thinking the exact same thing. Haha, I guess we're not model students after all. Haha, apparently not. Assuming I'd probably be fine was likely wishful and dangerous thinking, but at this point I could no longer stop myself. Oh wow, okay, so we have another age scene. That said, we weren't completely naked. It was still possible for us to potentially cover ourselves up if we suddenly heard someone coming. I wasn't sure if that'd fool anyone, but we prepared for that at this point. It still feels kind of weird, exposing myself in a classroom where we study. Yeah. I felt a bit weird having my member out in the open as well. That said, there was no way I could stop after coming this far. Kirito didn't try to pull away either. Her body trembled. The classroom was poorly ventilated and quite warm, so that most certainly wasn't because she was cold. It's alright, no one's gonna come. Oh, okay. I had no basis for that claim, but it should still give her some peace of mind. Kirito. I parted her fragrant hair and kissed her neck. It feels kind of nice to be kissed like that. I made sure not to go overboard, so as not to leave any marks. I wouldn't have to be careful in places that were not as easily seen. I feel your dick is touching me in a weird place. In a weird place? Ah, I see, it's because my legs are closed. My penis was trapped between her thighs. Our location was probably to blame for that. Is it embarrassing for you after all? Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about spreading my legs towards the corridor. Want to turn the chair around? Then I'd be spreading my legs to the window. I see. It seems she was hesitant to face either side. You can't get it in if I keep my legs like this. No, I think I should be fine. She nodded and, relieved, leaned against me. Am I heavy? Not at all. Haha, you're so strong, Shinji. If anything, it was pleasant to feel her weight against my body. Her body was so soft, just hugging her made my mind begin to melt, and there's nothing better than the softness of her buttocks currently pressing against my legs. This looks weird. She stared at her crotch. It looks like I've grown a dick. It really does. It felt really oddly obscene to see a scraggy rod peek out from between a girl's slender thighs. It's hot. I had it exposed for a while, but she only seemed to realize it now as she rubbed her legs. That in turn rubbed my shaft and sent a jolt of pleasure along my spine. Can I touch it like I did earlier? Of course. It's been a week. Kirito chuckled and slowly traced her hot hand along my member. Your dick is twitching. Her movements took a turn from the obscene and made my passions instantly shoot up. Your tip looks swollen and there's fluid coming from the tip. If you continue for that long, I might come. Didn't you just say, of course, I could do it like this? Yeah, but... The intense pleasure quickened my breathing. The touch of her delicate fingers, even weak, was exhilarating. I haven't let it out for a while, so it might explode pretty quickly. I see. Yeah, so... But what's wrong with that? I mean, you can handle coming two or three times, can't you? I guess so. Or do you hate the idea of being made to come by my hands? To hear such obscenities from her mouth put a grin on my face. It's not like that at all. I like the feel of your hands. Okay, I like being made love to, but I like giving out my love too. It seemed the long break made her starve for this kind of thing as well. Figuring that giving into pleasure was the best choice, I relaxed my body. Fluids are overflowing from the tip of your penis. It's all wet. She covered my dick with both of her hands even before I could say anything. It's really big after all. I'll touch you too. Yeah, do that. I love when you do it. I lightly kissed her neck again and began massaging her breasts. They're incredible. That slipped from my mouth almost unconsciously. I peeked over her shoulder to see the soft mountains of flesh deforming to my touch. It looks like it must be pretty heavy to lug these around. Yeah, it's not as bad when I put a bra on to support them, but otherwise... I lifted them up with my palms and swayed them back and forth. They indeed had some weight to them. It must have sucked to be glued to them every day, but they readily caught my attention. It feels amazing. I can do it, too. It feels like your dick is harder than before, and bigger, too. Probably because I'm touching your breasts. I see. It becomes big when you touch them. Okay. Kirito chuckled, but that didn't seem to displease her. We continued to stimulate each other's weak points. It seemed like the pleasure I was feeling grew sharper the harder my penis got. It's been a while since I felt my nipples numb like this. I could tell her nipples had swollen at a glance. I lightly squeezed them with my fingers. They're too sensitive. I played with the sensitive protrusions as I observed her reactions. Her body began trembling even harder, and her crotch got steadily hotter. I could feel the moisture with my shaft even though she still had her panties on. Do my hands feel good? Yeah, it's amazing. Fighting her own pleasure, she continued to stroke me. Her soft hands had already grown slippery from my fluids. That made the whole act even more pleasing. I could ejaculate any moment if I let my guard down. Yeah, I mean, it's your dick that's amazing. It's all red and swollen. Even I can tell how it feels. Covered in all sorts of fluids that looked obscene even to me. I might really explode soon. It's okay, do it. Cover my hands with your cum. She hesitated, but she hastened the movement of her hands instead. I might dirty your desk if we continue like this. You don't need to worry about it. I'll clean it up later. I can't let you do that. Don't think about cleaning now. Just embrace the moment, okay? Okay, thanks. The feeling of my impending climax instantly drew nearer as I stopped resisting. Your dick is shaking, and it's swollen so much. It's amazing. It's about to squirt your white cum, isn't it? Yeah, I'm about to cum, Kirito. Okay, do it in my hands. Cover them with a lot. Hold on. What did he say? Incredible. Well, why? It's not stopping. My penis flailed in rage with such fervor that I surprised even myself. Kirito had no choice but to tighten her grip around my shaft to keep it in place. Amazing. It trembles so hard when it comes. Was it like this when I made him ejaculate with my hands the first time? I was so nervous that I don't remember it all that well now. It keeps shaking and squirting semen. It's so intense, no wonder I feel it all the way to my stomach. Having ejaculated for the first time in a while, my penis continued to twitch even after it was done. The touch of her hands just felt too good. Amazing. I'm covered all over. I'm sorry. I got you dirty. No, actually, I tried to aim it at me. I apologized again. I got a bit wobbly after my orgasm finally ended, but that was only the prelude to the real thing. It doesn't seem like anyone's coming after all. Kirito looked around the room again. That said, it's amazing. I didn't know men had this much inside them. She lovingly stroked my milky white member. Well, it's been a while, so... I see. But like I said, it doesn't seem like it's going down just from coming once. Yeah, next I'll do it inside you. Oh, goddamn. She nodded and pulled off her panties herself. I'm exposing my pussy in the classroom, huh? She blushed all the way to her ears. I don't think I can spread my legs after all. Is it okay if we do it like this? Yeah, but you can guide my dick inside you. Or can you guide my dick inside you, rather? Okay, I got it. Her hands shook, probably from the excitement of doing it in the classroom. It's slippery. You don't need to hurry. Okay. Kirito carefully guided the tip to her entrance. Squelch. I had a feeling she'd been wet from how moist her panties were, but now I could tell she'd been soaked. After confirming we were properly connected, she slowly lowered her hips. Amazing, my pussy is spreading apart. Squelch, squelch. And with an obscene wet sound, my dick was swallowed up. My entire body shivered as her inside squeezed me. I'm going to push it deeper. Kirito arched her back as my tip finally reached the end. I felt like I had skewered her or something. Are you okay? It doesn't hurt, does it? No, it doesn't, but... I've been waiting for this sensation. I'm so happy, and it feels so good. I could tell her insides were contracting around me as though welcoming me back. Me too, your pussy feels really good for me too. My frank remark made her blush all the way to her ears. Hugging and drilling into her fragrant body felt like absolute bliss. Ah, your dick just by entering makes me feel so good. Please move, rub my pussy. Alright. Her lewd pleas really turned me on. My member grew so hot and hard that I couldn't believe this was actually round two. I swung my hips, bouncing against her with all my might. I wasn't as comfortable as a bed, but it still worked. Amazing, it feels so good. It didn't matter whether I was graceful or not, as long as it made her feel good. Ah, you're rubbing the most sensitive part of my pussy. You're squeezing me really hard. Her vagina felt tighter than usual, probably because she had her legs closed. There weren't many gaps in the confines of her fleshy walls, but this only made me feel even better. This is bad. I'm already close to my limit. Then that's okay. Me too. Let's do it together. It looked like she too had been struggling to suppress it. Alright, then let's continue like this. I'm coming. I'm coming. Yeah, no way. Though I was getting used to it, my second climax still came like a cannon. I held her tightly and squirted my load as deep as I could manage. Your dick is amazing. It's switching inside me, filling me with semen. I can tell. My belly is full of your sperm. The intensity of our climax pretty much paralyzed us for some time. When the wave of pleasure finally abated, it was as though all strength had left our bodies. Oh no, I was pretty loud. It doesn't seem like there's anyone here anyway. Yeah, that's good. At first I thought we could just throw our clothes on in an emergency, but it seemed I was naive. Both the chair and the floor were covered in our fluids. It wouldn't be hard for someone to recognize what we were doing. As such, we should have cleaned up right away, but our afterglow rendered us temporarily immobile. Mind-numbing pleasure and an intense workout coupled with the September heat made me lightheaded. Are you tired, Fukugami? Huh? What do you mean? If you're tired, I'll... She twisted her hips, sending a shot of life into my slowly shrinking member. Amazing. The watery sounds, and it smells like sex, too. Kirito, we might get in trouble if we don't cut it out soon. The teachers will be inspecting the classrooms. Okay, just one more time. Giving me what barely qualified as an answer, she hastened her movement. Amazing. It's already feeling great again. The tightness of her insides had grown even more pleasant after climaxing, filling my dick with an exhilaration, although almost through sheer force. My dick was still hard enough for another round, probably because it had been a while since we last did this. Amazing, it feels so good. Figuring it'd be faster to do it just to the end, I mustered the last of my strength and resumed my movements. The pleasure shot up in another notch as we started moving in sync. Our rhythm was all over the place, so it's probably mostly our intense feelings for each other that made us feel this insanely good. Kirito, it feels so good there. I pinched her nipples with a bit more strength. That had been too strong for her normally, but now any stimulation translated into pleasure for her body. Even louder sounds filled the classroom as our flesh slapped against one another. Sounds such as the creaking of the chair. Oh my god, I'm again! Yeah, me too. I desperately shoved my penis deep inside her as I felt the ripples of her orgasm take shape. Ah, my brain is gonna melt. I was too much pleasure. I felt like my penis would never stop ejaculating once I crossed this line. Ah, I'm coming. It's coming. We really could barely catch our breath at this point. Unable to move and still stuck to each other, we had no choice but to wait until we caught our breath enough to move. Okay. It was already dark by the time we finished thoroughly cleaning the place and left. We reflexively joined hands as soon as we passed through the school gate. Exchanging a look with blushed faces, we chuckled. As a remnant of the moment we had, just had, her hand felt hot, and I was probably the same. I'm sorry. I ended up leading you into doing something crazy. No, I'm as guilty as you are. I couldn't do anything to contain myself. Does that mean you're gonna forgive me? Of course. I don't think it's even a question of forgiveness or not. Aha, okay. There were quite a few people on the street, probably heading home after clubs had ended. We leisurely walked among them. The almost palpable feeling of satisfaction from having recently held each other surrounded us. I was sure she felt the same. It might have sounded a bit cheesy, but I felt like her hand had been conveying to me all of her most important thoughts. I don't think we've left the school this late before. Think your family might be angry over that? Not really. I actually told them I might start coming home later once I've started a club. I see, that's good to hear. What about you, Fukugami? I haven't even texted them, so they might be a bit upset. Miss Miyako is generally very nice and lenient, but can get pretty strict when it matters. Oh, I'll apologize for you tomorrow then. Haha, I don't think that would be necessary. Besides, what would you tell her? Huh? That. That we've lost track of time as we played catch? Catch, I see. We laughed, our foreheads almost touching. That was the intimate distance of lovers and nothing else. So I'll finally meet your girlfriend today. He said her name was Kirito. Well, they say in Kira, they say in Kirito, but whatever. Kireha. Yeah. I can't wait. I've heard she's quite a beauty. Yeah. It didn't feel bad to have your girlfriend complimented. Maybe I'll put a bit more effort than usual today. You're gonna make something special? No, I was thinking more along the lines of putting on more foundation. What? Is that what you were talking about? Oh, but I'll have to make sure to prepare something nice as well. I mean, you don't have guests like that coming every day. I'll be looking forward to that. We considered going to a restaurant, but that felt too stiff and official. Besides, Kirito would have an easier time coming over after having a meal here and being introduced to everyone properly. Well then, I'll be on my way. See you later. Yes, take care, you two. We walked to school, talking about nothing in particular as usual. Now that I thought about it, I might have left my guard down due to the recent onset of peace and happiness from being in a relationship. As such, I almost tripped on my feet as I suddenly saw that. It was as though a hand had risen from the ground and held my legs in place. I stared at it. I knew it was best to ignore these things, but... Shinji, what's wrong? It's nothing. I shook my legs, stealing glances at it. I kind of stubbed my little toe. Are you okay? I nodded and lined up to her. There was no real reason to go out of my way to hide it, but Kirito's voice echoed in my ears. They're somewhat like a natural phenomenon. As such, there was no point getting oversensitive and worry the others about it. I looked back over my shoulder. The bodok was already gone. Good morning. Morning. You look awfully grim today. Did something happen? Probably because of the nature of our relationship, Kirito instantly recognized the smallest of changes in my behavior. Did you get in trouble yesterday after all? No. Or after all, rather, I think that. I think she was saying, did you get in trouble yesterday after all? No, though Miss Miyako did lecture me a bit. Anyway, I woke up with a light headache today, so... Are you okay? I can walk you to the nurse's office. Thanks, but it's not that bad. Kirito nodded, returned to her seat. Sitting down, I repeated it again to myself. A single sighting was far from what constituted a job for Sakura Nomori dreamers. But I hadn't seen any for a while. I couldn't help thinking it was an omen for something bad happening soon. Here you go. Ah, thanks. Kirito handed me a pain reliever. It was an innocent lie, but now I kind of felt guilty. Either way, I had something to look forward to after school. I didn't want to ruin the mood by reporting my baseless suspicions. I told you to lose some weight, goddammit. Are you putting on all that fat to be a living sandbag, huh? I completely ignored the two until then. In fact, they never even entered my consciousness until that moment. Oh, that's creepy. I was rendered motionless for a moment. I focused all of my attention on the presence behind me. The laugh continued for a long time and was beginning to creep out the other students as well. Shohei let out an angry grunt as it finally ended. Shohei, or were you saying, huh? What are you laughing about, you fuck? Huh? I'm not laughing. I was asking what you were laughing about. I wasn't laughing. I'm gonna seriously fuck you up if you don't learn your place. The sound of punches reverberated stronger than usual in the room. Even Seki couldn't help letting out a wail. The other students ignored it, returning to whatever they were doing. But I remained as tense as a bowstring. What was that just now? Or, may I say, what was that just now? Now that I thought about it, I had never heard Seki speak much. And this is the first time I heard him laugh. As such, I naturally had no idea what he sounded like. Alright, everyone return to your seats, please. The homeroom teacher entered the classroom, making Shohei finally return to his seat. Stand. Bow. I spun around just like I did when I saw a Bodok this morning. Seki stared at his desk with a gloomy expression. But that was all. I waited for Seki to leave the classroom during the break and quietly followed him. But probably quietly as well. Seki... It seems I startled him. There's something I'd like to ask you. You were laughing in the morning, weren't you? What was that all about? I suddenly realized it must have sounded like I was accosting him. Seki stepped back and violently shook his head. I wasn't laughing. I didn't laugh. Ah. Oh, were you rubbed the wrong way by that too? Shohei. Shohei slipped his arm around my neck as though having just discovered a new buddy, then whispered to my ear like we were some secret collaborators. Let's fuck with that fool together. Piss off! I pushed Shohei away. The hell? Don't act like a model student when you're doing the same thing. That wasn't it, I paused. There was no point in explaining this to someone unrelated. I turned on my heel, intending to return to the classroom. Shohei. Well, what do you want? Stay off me. I didn't do anything. Just stepped toward him like he did before. I turned around without saying anything. Rika, it had been a while. It seems something strange is happening after all. You could tell? I told you before that I had a bad feeling. It was why Rika had said that he couldn't quite go to sleep just yet. I'd like to speak. Could you go to the rooftop? I have classes. Well, aren't you the model student? You care about school, even in an emergency. That sounded like he was making fun of me, but I wasn't in the mood right now. It had only been the first day of the second semester when I thought my life had finally returned to normal. I didn't want to lose these peaceful days again. After hesitating for just a second, instead of going to the roof, I headed to the classroom. Instead of the usual notification for text or mail, I received a call. Hello?
Goroda.
Yeah, it's me, Goroda. Ah, hello.
Huh? Are you in school right now? Yes, we have classes on Saturday mornings. I see. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. It's alright. It's the break time right now anyway. Did something happen? Yes. It's about the job you hired me for. It's done. Ah, thank you very much. No need to thank me. When are you coming? I'm fine any time today. Then, I'll come today. Is it better around evening for you? Yeah, I guess that'd be better. Understood. Then see you later. Kirito approached me as I hung up. Did something happen between you and him? Huh? He's giving you a really scary look. I followed her gaze and saw Shohei glaring at me. Not really. Well, that's fine then, but I saw what happened earlier. You seem to be bothered by the way they laughed or something. Yeah, reminded me of someone I knew, that's all. That wasn't a lie, since Kirito didn't know the details about Madoka's killer. Or Madoka, rather. Hmm? It did sound a bit weird. I nodded. Ah, Kirito. Is it okay if we have lunch 30 minutes later? Alright. She nodded without asking why. Then let's meet up at Trattoria. Thanks. It's okay. Stan, bow. And with that, Saturday's classes came to an end. See you later. Yeah, see ya. We were supposed to have an exciting lunch with the entire family today, but instead, I felt like there was a stone in my stomach. Even though nothing had happened just yet, I saw Bodok and I heard my classmates laughing in a strange way. That was all. But then Rika woke up too. The only thing he cared about was his own safety, which naturally translated to my safety as well. There was no one on the roof after school. I walked across it and stood by the fence. We could talk here. Alright. Allow me to momentarily stray from the main subject as it has been a while since we last talked. The mood you give off has changed quite significantly. But really? Before you were like an evil spirit possessed by feelings of revenge for your lost lover. But now you look like you've been freed from all such earthly woes. I felt like I'd heard that somewhere before. Right, Chief Kuroda said the same thing. I don't want you to do anything reckless while we share our body like this. But in a way, that also supplied you with strength. Your lack of care for your own safety was your main weapon, wasn't it? Maybe, but what about it? You're weak now. Whoops, sorry about that. But that spells trouble for me. I'd like you to abandon everything and run away? There's no way I could do that. But you can't resist me if I decide that's the best course of action. You're misunderstanding, Rika. What? I don't know whether I'm strong or weak, but one thing I can tell is that I haven't gotten weak in the way you say. Now I have someone more important to me than life itself. As such, I want to protect my ordinary life. People are strongest when they have something to protect, much more so than those that don't care about their lives. I see. That's another one of your oddities. I have no reason to doubt your words, of all people. I don't want to die. I'm sure we agree on that point. I'm fine just being alive. But you are different, are you not? You obsess about how you live as well. That's another thing that makes you human. Yeah. Well, we've managed to get along so far. There's no reason for me to put that in jeopardy. I shall believe you. What do you mean, get along? Despite my tone, the corners of my lips curled to a grin. You saw Bodok earlier today. That indeed is not an auspicious omen. Bodoks are like a natural phenomenon, aren't they? I suppose so. You could say that they are as much that as are humans. That didn't make much sense to me at all, but for starters it didn't seem like I was wrong. Then you would naturally see them from time to time, right? I could not deny that. I do not remember even seeing Seki or Shohei laugh before. However, I doubt there are many who have such peculiar laughs. I hesitantly nodded. There was no way to deny that. What the heck was up with that? I do not know myself. The sole thing that comes to mind is that the two are making fun of you. That's not likely. I don't think either of them know anything about Hide. Are you certain? That man kept roaming the streets, as I recall. He might have only been on a prowl for more victims, but it wasn't like he had shut off the world like a clam. Yeah, but then I'm not seeing any motive. Motive? The reason those two would want to mess with me. I imagine having a beautiful mate is more than enough to make other humans jealous. Even if they knew Hide somehow, there's no way they could have known my involvement with him. No one, not even my family, knew what that laugh meant to me. Indeed. Well, it was just a shot in the dark. In other words, we know nothing. We were back to square one. But that's still creepy. For me alone, that laugh is pretty much what constituted a Joker. It's like Hide is messing with me from beyond the grave. Rika didn't give any particular reaction to my turmoil. What are you going to do with those two? What do you mean? It's wise to eliminate the threat before it buds. What do you even... I knew you would say that. I imagine you wish to continue living as a normal human being. Of course. But you might be able to kill without leaving any evidence. Rika used to be a red Bodok to possess Arisaka's friend. You're saying I wouldn't need to worry about the police and can still live as a normal person? Yes. No matter what happens, killing is one thing I'll never do. It'd be betraying Madoka's feelings, and I'd rather die, or Madoka's feelings, and I'd rather die than do anything of the sort. It's been almost 30 minutes. You should go. Alright. In the end, I didn't learn anything new talking with Rika. All we could do was confirm the present situation. I'm sorry, I ran a bit late. It's alright. Are you hungry? I'm starving. Me too, I've texted them, so I think the food will be ready by the time we get there. Haha, I can't wait. I felt like I had swallowed a ball of lead after what happened in school today, but it felt like it had melted away as soon as I took Kirito's hand. How's your headache? You made it go away. Huh? I told her the medicine helped and she nodded. That said, I have to admit I'm a bit nervous. I don't think you need to worry about that. She's generally looking forward to seeing you. I see. Apart from looking forward to the meeting, she can't wait to see how pretty you are, apparently. Oh, is that how you describe me to her? No, I think that info came from Hatsune. I see. Though I wholeheartedly agree with her assessment. Haha, I wonder if that's true. It is, I swear. We were so lost in our conversation, we didn't even notice when we reached my house. I'm back! Thank you for having me. Welcome! Welcome! A relieved smile appeared on Kirito's face in response to the warm welcome. I'll be imposing on you today. Don't worry, I'll make sure to do more of the imposing. Anyway, take your seats, the food's all ready. Wow, it looks delicious. You made sure to go all out today, right? Yes, I even put on thicker foundation. What? Whoops, you didn't need to hear that, ho-ho. Miss Miyako disappeared into the kitchen with a laugh I'd never heard her do before. Did you help, Hatsune? Just a little. It looks darn delicious. We apologized for suddenly having changed the time again and took our seats. Miss Miyako opened her mouth around halfway, midway through lunch. Well then, I think it's about time you tell us how it all started. It all started? Well, we were in the same class and... Oh, that's pretty normal. Though I doubt we'd have even spoken... Though I doubt we'd have even spoken if that was all. I already told you, but everything started from Sakura Nomori Dreamers. Yeah. That. You were always out late at night, which I wasn't sure if I liked, but it seems that it all turned out fine in the end. Yeah. Phew, it was delicious. Thank you very much. Thank you. You're welcome. I'll make some tea. Miss Miyako stood up. Would you like to drink it in your own room? She's probably being considerate. Grateful, I took my cue. Yeah, we might as well do that. Phew! Kirito let out a breath as I closed the door. That was pretty intense, but really fun as well. I'm glad to hear that. We sat down on the floor and began slowly sipping our tea. I feel like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders. Well, that might be a bit of an overstatement, but I feel like I finally did what I needed to. Now you can come over anytime. You sure you're okay with that? I'd love that. Then maybe I'll do just that. It was still a bit early, but we decided to part ways for today. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the meal. Kirito lowered her head in a perfect fashion. I thought of it during her first greeting, but her good posture really added to her beauty. No problem, you're welcome to come over anytime. Alright, I'll walk you to the station. I wonder what I should do tomorrow. We walked at a leisurely pace, talking of Sunday. Ah! Kirito let out a small gasp. Probably wasn't what caused it, but the bodok looked like it turned to us, then disappeared. We dropped our shoulders and paused for a moment. I haven't seen that in a while. Yeah, me too. Though this was actually the second time for me. They had been so absent lately, and yet now I saw two of them in a single day. I couldn't help feeling that something ominous was afoot. But you do see them from time to time, even when nothing is happening, right? Yeah, that's true, but... Kirito's expression had grown grim. That said, it's better to have none than some. We walked the rest of the distance to the station in silence. Kirito, your bus is here. Ah, already? I guess it's goodbye for today, then. Yeah, bye. Ah, we forgot to make plans for tomorrow. I could have always discussed that over the phone, but I couldn't help growing frustrated that a bodok sighting of all things made us forget about it. I didn't want these things to get in the way of my normal life. Not like anything has really happened yet, I was telling myself again. What I told Eureka on the roof today was the honest truth. I was now stronger, if anything. If something really ended up happening, I'd make sure to face it head on. I walked to the station again after dinner. Come in. Good evening. Hey. Would you like some coffee? You're a client up until I'm done with my report, which means I'm obligated to go the extra mile to make you feel comfortable. No, it's already quite late. But the sun has barely even set yet. The chief tossed the newspaper aside and plopped on the sofa. I sat in front of him. Have you finished your other jobs? Yep, I'm back to slacking off every day. Detective work seems to be pretty seasonal. Yeah, that's it. I pretty much lost all the money already. What? Ah, damn. Why do these horses hate me so? Well, at least poverty makes me want to work more. I suppose that's how the world works. Ha ha ha. Well then, about your job. The chief gave me a hard look, making me fix my posture. Just as we suspected. Hide lost his parents at a young age. Or more specifically, he was abandoned by them. It was around when he started elementary school that it happened. I suppose you could say that the fact that he didn't end up dead in some gutter was a sign that luck hadn't completely abandoned him. His parents are deceased. They died pretty much at the same as they abandoned him. It was a murder-suicide. Well, I can tell you all about that later. Let's finish the story about Hide first. He was abandoned. So he wasn't technically an orphan. But, what was the word? Neglected? Yeah, that's probably it. His mother was a real piece of work. From what I've learned, the only reason he managed to survive is probably because his father wasn't as far gone as she was. I found out the place he lived when he was a kid, checked it out. I didn't expect much, but apparently some neighbors remembered them even after 20 years. That's how huge of an impression they left. Hide was always eating bread, apparently. Bread? Hide used to eat sweet rolls all the time. Pretty sad to think that sweet rolls were the only thing keeping him alive. Yeah. He wasn't an orphan. But eventually, even neglect turned out to be unsustainable. Since his mother went completely nuts. Did she have mental problems? She was weird to begin with. Most people in the area did their best to avoid her due to her abnormal behavior. There was some creepy rumors around her, but I found nothing to substantiate them. The chief continued, seemingly keeping the most juicy parts for last. I tried approaching a couple of people that were raised in Asunaro Academy with him. They didn't have private showers in that place and all bathed in one big common area. Apparently, Hide never even tried to hide it. His genitals were covered with awful scars. Scars? The guy I interviewed didn't go into detail and looked scared out of his wits as we talked about it, even though what we were talking about happened decades ago. According to him, everyone there had problems, which doesn't surprise me. But they all went completely white when they saw that. One of them asked what had happened. And Hide told everyone that his mother did it for him. Did it for him? Yeah, that's quite a weird turn of phrase, isn't it? But the guy insisted that was exactly what he said. Then one of them cried out that his mother was insane. And then the next week, he died. Did Hide kill him? I don't know. He fell from the roof. It was considered an accident back then, so there's not much I could do to look into it. According to my as I mentioned earlier, I found no evidence to confirm whether his mother did that or not. According to my investigation, the police had no records on her. You'd get arrested for something like this even if you're a parent, wouldn't you? If the authorities found out, there are a few things more private and further from the power of the public than the family unit. Thought it was probably a good thing. That reminded me of Chief Kuroda. That reminded me that Chief Kuroda actually used to be a police investigator. You only need the victim to swallow their pain and there'd be no incident. The world is full of that kind of stuff. His mother probably wanted a daughter. Anyway, as I mentioned before, his mother eventually went completely out of control. She not only neglected the kid, but started abusing him as well, or that's what the neighbors told me at least. I even used an old connection of mine, met with my former boss. You mean Mr. Kirito? Yeah, did I tell you that? I nodded. He's still as insufferable an old geezer as ever, but that's neither here or there. Anyway, he somehow got transferred to patrol and had an encounter with Hide there. Yes, he mentioned that. Huh? Wait, you actually know that old geezer? Yes, I'm actually seeing his granddaughter. Haha, what a small world. His parents had already been dead by the time. But this was what Hide apparently said at the time. It wasn't all that bad, being hit and all. The chief told me he'd be digressing a little. There was this time when Haragaro Enterprise, the guys I'd been having trouble with, paid us a visit. They actually punched Hide. I, of course, immediately called the police, but Hide didn't show any signs of pain at all, which started the muscle they brought. I've seen all sorts of people in my work as an investigator and detective, but Hide's definitely a special case. He definitely saw his share of violence as a child. That reminded me of what Hide said when we fought in that abandoned mall. I don't feel pain very well. It's probably because I kept being punched as a child. And then when I split his skull with my lunge, doesn't it hurt? That's not because I'm possessed. I was like this from the beginning. I was actually pretty surprised to see Tsukuda cry and scream so much after something like broken fingers and having his ass pinched with pliers. Why do you think his mother was violent with him? No idea, probably just a nutcase. He told me something before, I didn't quite get it back then, but my mother couldn't stand when I left her crying. So when a wave of either came, I'd do my best to prolong it for as long as possible, like chewing gum that had long lost its taste. That's probably why she hit him. Are you saying he was doing that on purpose to provoke her? I saw the chief getting a bit flustered for the first time. That's just a thought I had. I don't know. The chief shrugged his thick neck. Anyway, his mother died eventually, killed herself. Though she took her husband with her first. She didn't give a single thought about the future, which means Hide was abandoned in a sense. Their bodies were discovered in the apartment they lived at. In the apartment? Was it Hide who reported it? No, it was the neighbors. They were unable to stand the smell. I couldn't immediately imagine just how that could have happened. Hide stayed with them that whole time. In other words, he stayed in a room that stank beyond anything we can imagine for a while. Why didn't he report it? Was he too young? Perhaps? Did you know he could barely smell anything? I shook my head. And seems that contributed to him not being able to enjoy food much. Anyway, he's taken in by the facility after that. And I think you know the rest of the story. Heavy silence fell in the office. It seemed like there was no one coming to this detective agency again. We stared at the table like stone statues. I lived with him for a while in here, but now that I think about it, I never saw him show any actual emotions. Emotions? Yeah, like laughing, or anger, or sadness. He smiled all the time. But that was never a display of emotion. That was true. I had never seen him angry either. Though, by that point, he's probably no longer human.
So
But apparently he started bawling when he learned of his parents' death.
What?
When he learned of it. Yeah. Seemed he didn't realize it even though they weren't moving. They ignored, then abused, and ultimately abandoned him, but he was still sad to lose them. I don't get that at all. Thank you very much. You're welcome. The chief lazily shook his head. I felt almost like the station had transformed into some different place when I left the agency. Hide said he didn't want pity. Was that what I was feeling? I couldn't tell. I only knew I wasn't planning to forgive him, regardless of what had happened in the past. Why did I even want to know this? The chief recommended that I forget it, too. The motive. Why did he choose Monica? The two had nothing tying together except me in the middle. As such, it must have had something to do with me, but I had no idea what. Hide died without explaining anything. I thought I could find some hint in his past, but... A sigh escaped my lips as I looked up at my dark, unlit house. He probably had no one waiting for him back home. The one thing I was curious about was the reason he thought to become friends with me. He definitely wasn't the type to get lonely. He even cast away his own lover. If anything, I had the feeling he was the type that could only live by himself. But then why did he think to spend time with me? That remained a mystery, but perhaps it was about time I gave up on trying to figure him out. Nothing good would come from prying into the Joker. That was the feeling I got. Okay. Oh, hold on. Seeing nothing, Hatsune walked ahead. That made me refrain from telling her anything on Saturday, but it was probably a bad idea to remain silent about it anymore. Hatsune, I addressed her in a heavy voice. Hatsune turned around with a slightly worried look. I explained everything to her. I see, is there one nearby right now? No, not at the moment. It disappeared. Hatsune let out a relieved breath. It's just, they started multiplying again, and I don't know why. As such, don't let your guard down if you can. Okay. Though there was little she could do, especially when their modus operandi was stuff like raining construction materials from the sky. We had no certain means of defense. Why were there so many Bodoks before? It's because we had a serial killer in town. Then, is it happening again? Maybe. There was always a possibility of someone getting possessed by a red Bodok and turning into a serial killer abomination. But the Joker was a special case. We already discussed that hundreds of times. The normal killers, as fallacious as that notion sounded, attract Bodoks too? The three of us waited for... The three waited for us by the gate as we reached school. We moved right to the subject matter after exchanging greetings. It seems that Bodoks are on the increase again. Yeah, I saw some on my way here. That's not all, Shinji. Shizumiya urged me to look towards the school. I let out a voiceless cry as I followed her gaze. This wasn't normal for sure. Just what is happening? Why would so many of them gather so suddenly again? Are they gathering in the school? Yes, exactly. The students kept stealing glances at us as they passed by. It's a bit unnatural to stay in front of the gate like that, so we headed inside. Does this mean there's a killer in our school? Yes, that is very likely, but that's not the main of our worries right now. Kirito paused with a gloomy look on her face. Hatsune turned to me. There's a high possibility something bad will happen here. Something bad? Tragedies are like sustenance, or perhaps entertainment for them. As such, they always sniff it out and gather where it's highly likely to happen. Should we be going in? What do you mean?
It might be dangerous inside, like the whole thing with the bomb last time. What do you think, Fukugami? Instead of answering, I turn to Shizumiya. We've got to know the face of the person who, into whose dreams we're diving, right? Yes, it's a bit difficult to enter someone I don't know at all. Then we've got no choice but to go. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Roger. I looked around. All the students walked as they always did. It doesn't seem like anyone has noticed anything. We won't find anything until someone makes a move. But who could that someone be? Sakura and Amori dreamers weren't heroes. That I knew already. Anyway, just make sure to keep an eye on your timers, everyone. Kirito whispered in my ear as we split up and headed to our classroom. That was pretty cool earlier. Thanks. In the end, I always acted for my own benefit. First, I wanted to protect my town. Then I did it for revenge. And finally, I was here to protect the woman I loved. All of it connected to me in the end. That was the reason I could never be a hero. Kirito's expression grew serious again. They're all over the corridor, too. I doubt we can hope nothing will happen at this point. Yeah. But who could it be? The school looked perfectly peaceful when the second semester started, though that was only a week ago. I couldn't think of anyone suspicious in particular. Our classroom looked no different from usual. Some of the students laid on their desks, some were glued to their phones, some model students were preparing for class, while others were chattering among each other. And in the corner of the classroom, something everyone ignored was happening. It really was just like any other day. You're laughing again? Right, there were some suspicious characters, but was it really all that suspicious? Merely laughing weirdly didn't make you a serial killer. Alright, everyone take your seats, please. You little fuck, I'll teach you a lesson later. Shohei, what are you doing? I told everyone to take their seats. Okay. Seki, you too. Seki held his shoulder on the verge of tears. It really looked like Shohei put his all in that punch. Oh, shit. Wow. I don't know who this is, but we're going to find out. We're going to leave it right here. So we're going to open with this viewpoint and see exactly who we're talking about. But things are going to get crazy. There's a lot of Bodox. There's going to be some blood. It's going to get rough. It's Sakura and Amori Dreamers, and we are back to the story. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I'm out for Grimm's visual novel. I was going to say hentai because there was a little bit of hentai. But Grimm's Visual Novel Corner, we'll see you next time with more Sakura and Amori Dreamers.